Keep on riding with us as we continue to broadcast the balance and defend the discourse from these Hip Hop Weekly studios. Welcome back to Civic Cypher. I am your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward. You are tuned in to, hopefully, still listening to and still riding with us here at Civic Cypher.
Yeah, and shout out to everyone who was listening to the first part of the show, because the second part kind of leans on it a bit, but you don't need to have listened to the first part of the show in order to get it. Today we're talking about, you know, working with folks with opposing views, political views, and we've compiled a few best practices that we think will help you on your way. We know that this is kind of like an interesting time in our country's history, and you know, the story we told in the first half just kind of illustrated what division looks like and how being committed to brotherhood and sisterhood really goes a long way. So we're going to continue to develop that. But before we get there, it's time to discuss BABA, Becoming a Better Ally. Baba.
Becoming a Better Ally, sponsored by Friends of the Movement. You can sign up for the free voter wallet from FOTMglobal.com to support Black businesses and allied businesses, as well as make an impact with your spending. Again, FOTMglobal.com. The story comes from ZantaUSA.org. The USA General Women's Strike has been called for June 24th, 2024.
Nice.
Join the women's strike. Show your support for reproductive rights and equality by refusing to work, spend, and wearing red. Step 1, strike. No work, no nothing. Step 2, if you can't strike, no spending. Step 3, wear red. Step 4, amplify on social media. Give you some background. The U.S. Supreme Court has issued its ruling on the Dobbs case on June 24th, 2022, taking away the constitutional right to abortion, abandoning almost 50 years of precedent and paving the way for states to ban abortions. Women of the USA will take their stand on June 24th and in November. Ramses, that was really, really hard to read, not because I can't read, but because it's the type of thing that a few years ago would have seemed impossible.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us thought Roe v. Wade was law.
That would, yeah.
I think a lot of us think that a lot of things that seem like legal, that are just legal precedent, are law.
Yeah, permanently. Yeah.
Because they're the things that any decent human should just be allowed to have.
And I think that we've grown up accustomed to like a more progressive evolution of our country. But if you do want to support this, you can check out womensmarch.org or ZantaUSA.org and join this boycott. We certainly will. All right. So back to working with folks with opposing opinions. So I'm going to tell another story. My bad. I'm story time all the show, man. My bad. But there's another story I want to tell. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, on another conversation that you and I had, having to go to my jeweler. It's not as fancy as it sounds.
It's as fancy as it sounds.
No, it's not.
People.
I know
I'm
that.
I'm sitting next to him, and I'm just telling y'all, it's because of y'all.
Well, my jeweler is someone that I've known for some years now. Again, he's a good man. I have no reason to think otherwise. He's a family man. He is very kind. Imagine me walking into your jewelry store. You know what I mean? He doesn't treat me like a threat. He, you know, there's an extra layer of trust there that I would feel like is reserved for people that are friends, you know? You know, I'll say his name just so you can follow the story. His name is Oren, okay? Oren is a Sephardic Jew. And the reason I know what a Sephardic Jew is because Oren taught me that years ago. And he was very happy to explain that to me. And I loved learning about it. There's something very special about... So I grew up Christian, right? And like most Christians, growing up Christian doesn't really mean a whole lot in the same way what it means when you grow up Muslim and you have to pray five times a day, or you grow up Jewish and you wear a yarmulke and you you don't wear jewelry and you're, you know, orthodox or, you know, whatever, you know, there's a little bit more discipline and alignment with the doctrines of the faith in these other religions. And so for me to see this commitment from Muslim people over the years, from Jewish people over the years, it's something that I've always appreciated, very admirable, and I've always been very interested in learning more about it. And I do my best to receive these conversations in a loving way. You know, these people aren't anything other than just amazing people expressing faith, and it's another expression of humanity, and I think that's beautiful, right? With that said, ever since this war broke out with Israel's response to, you know, October 7th being, in my words, what I told him, a lot more aggressive than most people are comfortable with. I've been thinking about him because I know that I feel this way, and I would have assumed that he would have been one of the people who would applaud Israel's response, protecting Jewish lives, right? And I can't be mad at him for feeling that way. I think there's a line, and I think the human part of you, before you're anything, you're a human being. Before you're Christian, before you're Black, before you're white, before you're whatever, you're a human being. That's verifiable.
That's not true of everyone, though.
But I feel like when the more evolved, the more you...
Well, this is what I mean.
Go ahead.
If from birth you are indoctrinated by your parents with regard to your religion. Then you are nothing before that.
Yeah,
that's a fair point. Your first thoughts, the first rules that you've ever abided by in life were tied directly to
that faith, right?
That faith.
Your life is worth less than that.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is fair. I'm glad you brought that up, because I know that's exactly what I have been taught and would be taught now if I was, you know, in like super deep into any faith. All of them are like that. But I feel like the more educated a person becomes, the closer to quote unquote God a person becomes, you know, whatever, the more they realize that some of the beliefs that they have stand in contrast and in conflict to some of the other beliefs that they have from the same book, right? So if these people are your brothers and you should do no harm and thou shalt not kill and whatever it is that your faith teaches you, you have to reconcile that text with that text, right?
I think what happens, and though, we like to assume that closer to God also means more enlightened, and it does not.
Not always. There's some people who I feel like...
No, both can be true,
okay,
but they don't mean the same
thing.
Yeah,
there you
go.
I go with that.
So the idea, you can get closer to God and become more extreme because you didn't learn.
Sure,
you just,
sure.
You just dove more into your faith. So it's... It varies.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you mentioned that too. So this is clearly it's a tricky subject, but back to Oren. One of the things that is, I think it might be impossible for me to do, is to pretend like I feel a different way than I do, or to hide how I truly feel, because I feel like it might hurt somebody. That's just not my way. I would feel so fake. I call Ami my brother. You know, I call Oren my brother. You know, I'm grateful to be able to call both of them my brother. I'm grateful. I you know, all of the people of different faiths and different races and different walks of life that I've met that have become, you know, family members, brothers, sisters, you know, whatever. It's an honor. They make my life more beautiful, right? And so far be it for me to pretend to be fake, to hide something from them. And so I kind of, my tendency is to lean into those things. And so in talking to him, I says, hey, I've been thinking about you for some months now. And I'd like to invite you up to talk on my show. You have educated me on Judaism and what it means to be a Jewish person in my adult life in such meaningful ways. Just hanging out with you in this jewelry store, it's very special to me. And I feel like if there's anyone that I know who is as knowledgeable as you, who has as committed to his faith as you, who can say, who's involved politically as well, who can bring some insight to this, it would be you. Now I have to warn you, I love you, you're my brother. I feel differently. I feel like Israel's response to this is much too far. And I still feel like you maybe can come and share your thoughts. I won't be combative. With me and Ami, it's different. Me and Ami could go at it all day, but with Oren, it's not like that. It's just a different temperament, right? Meeting him where he is. You can say what you want to say. I want to honor Jewish people. That we've spent many episodes on this show honoring Jewish people, defending Jewish people against black people, right? So it's tough to walk that line to give everybody a seat at the table, everyone a chance to express themselves. But the right thing to do, and I'll let you jump in, is to say how I feel, to make sure that he feels confident in saying how he feels, and now you have the beginnings of a conversation. What you say will be well received. It might not change how I feel, but let's begin a conversation. And I think there's a lesson there. Go ahead.
We're going to get into some of our best practices with regards to having discussions with people who have, different opinions than us, mostly in a political space. But I just want to point out, just in case I don't have time to say this later, all of us require grace at some point. One thing to always remember in these situations is to extend it in return. The thing that stands out the most to me, and I'm just bringing this up because of the conflict in Gaza, is that you said many times on this show, we have defended Jewish people. We have shouted down anti-Semitism. And we knew in those moments that the people that needed the grace, that needed the allies, that needed their voices to be heard were our Jewish brothers and sisters. To our Jewish brothers and sisters, somebody else needs that grace now. Even if you thought a response was necessary and justified, at some point, your humanity does have to show up, because when your humanity is brought to question and disrespected and people try to stomp on it, you have allies and you require grace, and we show it. You cannot ask for and require grace and then not extend it when someone else needs it. You know, so when we're talking about differences of opinion, sure, but as I said before, we cannot be different on everything, especially when part of what we're different on allows for my people, my ancestry, my posterity to be stomped out. And not only are you not standing to defend or protect me, but you're joining in and doubling down on it. That cannot be the solution. Especially because we all know that at some point all of us have asked for and received some sort of grace.
I say stuff and I think I got it. And then you come and then you tie it all together and I'm like, oh, that was it. My fault. Thank you for making me sound better. I appreciate that. So last little bit. I mentioned again that my position was that Israel had gone too far. And Oren says, well, what do you think Israel should have done? And I said, I don't know. The reason I said that is because that was not the place to have that conversation. B, I'm probably not the best person to have that conversation. I'm an ally, so I share things here and there, but far be it for me to dictate what the line should be. I can speak up when the line is too far, right? And I reserve that right. Everyone should, right? The other thing is, Q's going to get a kick out of this, but I don't like to have the conversation before I have the conversation. Right. So if he ever does come up on the show, you will hear him and I have our conversation for the first time. Now, what happened in this story and in the earlier story with Ami, stories with Ami? What are some of the things that we've learned in our time growing this show, where we've had people who are in powerful positions, oftentimes they're white men, and we're wanting to do a show that fosters allyship for black and brown people. You know, it doesn't benefit them directly. It costs them airtime. They're not playing hip-hop songs. And we're talking about, you know, the struggle, you know, dead people dying, mothers weeping. We're talking about trying to grow as human beings. And they're on radio stations where people are trying to party, right? So what is it that we've done and seen has worked over these years? Well, one of the things that we do, and I think that Q is a lot better at this than I am, is we find things that we can agree on in a general sense. And it might be something as simple as, you know, we want these people to be safe. You're not going to find too many people that would disagree with a statement like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so right? Statements like that are important because they help you identify people who are so far removed from the conversation that you're trying to have to know that you should not try to have it, right? So one of the things before we even get into best practices is that sometimes disengaging is the best option because a person has either decided that the facts aren't the facts, they've decided that your point of view is so far beneath theirs that it does not even deserve a dignified, you know, exchange, or that there's just a level of decency required that isn't present, right? Everyone should be safe. Ram just put that as a softball on purpose because we should all be able to agree on something like that. But there are cases where we cannot, and you realize before a conversation even starts, okay, we should not even participate in this one.
So that brings me to my second point on the, I guess it's our list, but recognizing that agreeing on the same set of facts is mission critical because often we're not working with the same set of facts. Hmm. There are facts that are falsehoods. They're just purported as facts. There are gaps in factual information. Lord knows on this show, we both learn things after the fact and we just didn't know that. And we have to come back as we do and apologize and make the stories right. You know, we want to, this is not a clout chase. We eat humble pie. We eat crow seriously on this show. Yeah, this is, we're trying to do what we feel is right in our hearts, right? So once you start getting to the real meat and potatoes of your conversation, after you've kind of figured out what you agree on in a general sense, it's easier to take the next step and start agreeing on what the facts are. And one of the things that we do is we research the facts, and oftentimes people will have opinions that are purported as facts, and so we have to do media bias checks. So it's not just fact checking, we have to check the bias. Is this, does this come from a decidedly far right source or a decidedly far left source, politically speaking? Is there a bias inherent in these words? How can this person use that bias against me? How can I let them know that the bias is what they're feeding into and not the facts? You know, and starting to have that conversation. And there are objective, neutral media bias fact-checking sites online that you can check for yourself. And the truth
and
is,
there are objective sources as well. And
there you
trying
go.
To find those collectively is important.
So in your activism and allyship, if it goes that far, you know, that's another thing to check. And Google is your friend, and it's on your phone, and it's free. So,
however, Google will bring you back both biased and objective sources. So Google is your friend, but even after that, you need to fact check.
But you can Google where to find out the media bias checks too. So another thing that we think is a really good idea is to understand that if we can't agree on how to get to where we're going together. Let's say we both say, hey, we want a better society for all people. If we don't agree on how to get there together, if we can both commit to getting there individually, understanding that, hey, you feel differently than I do on the path to get there, but at some point you might need me. I want you to know that you can call me when you need me, and I would like to know that I can call you when I need you, and you do your work and I'll do mine. Again, keeping that tissue of that semblance of brotherhood, of shared motivation, and so forth. You know, we got a lot more in common than than what differentiates us, and we do need each other, mm-hmm. no matter what. And not losing sight of that is very important. Can we not interfere with each other's work? In other words, I don't want to stand in your way, a la Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay, if you're doing it and you got the votes and that's what's happening, let me not stand in your way. I got to win another fight over here, right? That's what's happening. Get on board. Okay. Q brought the example of Donald Trump became president. Guess what? He was the president of the United States of America. Guess where I live? United States of America. And like any single solitary moment of it. But
important to say, because we do have an election coming up. Unfortunately, this is a zero-sum political system here. And we have to have a president. And I see a lot of people that are preparing to not participate because they don't think there's a good enough candidate.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to pretend I don't feel you. Because I even feel your reason why.
One is way worse.
I just have to keep revisiting the absolute fact that we have to have a president.
Yeah.
There's going to be one. One of them... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel you. For everybody listening to me, I'm not judging you. I'm not belittling you. I feel you and I agree with you. Right? Neither of them deserve you. Neither of them deserve me. But you have to think about the reality you have to live in the event that one of these people is elected.
Yeah.
Because one of them will be elected no matter what.
Yeah. Just to wrap this up real quick. I'm not saying don't interfere with the social order. Shut down freeways, barricade yourselves in libraries. I love that energy. Keep it up. But always remember that these people on the opposing sides are your brothers and sisters, even when it's tough, especially when it's tough, because that's when you get to prove that they're your brothers and your sisters. So we'll leave that one right there. As always, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Civic Cypher. Hopefully you learned something. I have been your host, Ramses Ja.
He has, and I have been trying to convince you to go to our YouTube channel. Civic Cypher on YouTube, Civic Cypher on everything else as well. But go to our YouTube channel because we got some special things coming. Ramses got me even more excited than I was already about the things that we're going to bring to you guys. But support us, like us, comment, share some love, and share our show with your friends, with your neighbors, and with your family members that need to hear these conversations.
Yeah. And for anything else, hit the website, civiccypher.com. You can submit any questions. If you got any topics you want us to cover, make a donation. This is not a free operation, so make a donation, please. Be sure to follow all the rest of our social media at Civic Cypher. You can follow me at Ramses Ja.
I am Q Ward.
Don't forget, you can download this and any previous episode. So if you missed the first half, it's somewhere out there. And until next week, y'all.
Peace.